Hello, welcome to Fireside Chats. My name is Magla Pillay, and today's topic is God, the Remover of Sorrow. We ask you during this series to take a good look into your heart and ask yourself questions such as, is your inner world balanced with your outer one? What is your relationship with God, if any? Do you have any connection to the divine? Are you happy with your life as it is, or is there something that you would like to change? Fireside Chats takes us into the core of spirituality. It gives us a fresh perspective on the balance between one's internal and external world. We also look at aspects of the self that we don't normally think about. And Sister Denise, who is our speaker for today, will share her insight and wisdom into today's topic, God, the Remover of Sorrow. Sister Denise has been practicing Raja Yoga meditation for over 40 years. Sister Denise, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
It's
you.
a pleasure to have you with us. God, the Remover of Sorrow. There are many who believe that God is the one who gives sorrow and God is the one who creates sorrow because when people find themselves in distressing situations, God tends to be blamed for them. I mean, it's commonplace to find a clause in an insurance policy contract that describes a disaster as an act of God. So God has achieved quite, or earned, shall I say, quite a bad reputation from humanity. Let us start there. Does God create any sorrow within humanity?
What happens is that God knows what creates happiness and what creates sorrow, but people don't know. People think that either everything is random or everything is some sort of a puppet show and God is pulling all the strings, and that if you, the puppet, are experiencing something bad, it's because of the string pulling on behalf of God. So all of these attributes that are ascribed to God are people who have assumed or made up that God is like this and God is like that. But actually, a lot of it is, in a court of law, it would be slanderous. But a time has to come when God has to say, look, this is me, this is who I am, this is what I do, this is what I don't do. So now you have to come to terms with that. So, in terms of the natural calamities that are called acts of God, I think nowadays more and more insurance companies are beginning to talk about acts of nature or calamities, natural calamities, something like this. So they just say, well, we're not going to insure you against any natural calamities, because I think too many people must have said, look, bringing in the religious aspect into an insurance policy is not suitable. But still, there are a lot of people who speak about acts of God, because if you look at the scriptures, a lot of these, thunders and lightning and, miracles and disasters and all of that are seen in terms of this is God doing it. And of course, it goes back to a pre-monotheistic approach where they talk of the gods. And, Thor, the god of thunder, is the one who creates thunderstorms. And in India, you have Indra, which is similar to Thor, the god of rain, who, of course, brings some thunderbolts as well. So I think that some of that mythology is still going on in people's minds. And then they mix that up with superstition and blind faith and an unwillingness to take responsibility for the consequences of their actions, which occur in time periods that extend beyond the length of one lifetime. If something happens to you and you can see the cause and effect is right in front of you, you eat contaminated food, you get sick very quickly, you can see cause and effect, you're not going to blame God for it, you because you can see it. But when the connection is more tenuous, that's when you tend to blame God. Another thing that we have in the sort of conventional morality in the culture that we live in, people say, don't give sorrow, but they don't say, don't take sorrow. Mm. Whereas God, who becomes the teacher, will say, don't take sorrow. It's in your hands whether or not you take sorrow. And it is not recommended to take sorrow, but rather make yourself as a detached observer, because do not give sorrow. Clearly, it would be a sin to give sorrow, but what people don't realize is that it's not less of a sin to take sorrow. So then people will say, well, how can I not take sorrow if someone's giving it to me? And God would say, well, yeah, you have the possibility to not take it. You can be a detached observer. Don't internalize it. Don't take it in, because it will contaminate you, and that is in your hands. Mm. So God, as the teacher, God as the one who knows the laws of spirituality, the laws of karma, will say very clearly, which is not new, if you do good action, if you do charitable action, you will experience happiness. You will benefit. You will profit. Conversely, if you do a bad action, you will get sorrow. God is not required to give happiness or sorrow. It's an automatic consequence of the laws of action and reaction.
Sister Denise, can I stop you there? As human beings, are we aware of what we are doing wrong that is causing our own sorrow?
To some extent, yes. Where the conventional morality coincides with the laws of spirituality, the laws of karma, but there are also areas where it doesn't coincide. In the question of not taking sorrow, it doesn't coincide. And so a lot of people are taking a lot of sorrow, bringing harm to themselves unknowingly. But I think that the law of karma also has a component which says, okay, if you don't know, that's not an excuse. You will anyway experience sorrow just because of your ignorance. But if you knowingly take sorrow when you know that you aren't to take sorrow, you're going to get a lot more sorrow. You know, knowingly going against the law or unknowingly going against the law, there are different consequences.
Hmm. Okay. So what you're basically saying is that the pain that we as human beings experience is self-inflicted?
To a large extent, yes.
Oh, that is, that's a bitter pill to swallow, Sister Denise.
It is a bitter pill to swallow.
And so you are saying that the confusion arises because the action and the consequence are separated.
Well, that's one thing, that they're separated in time. But the other thing is that there's a great deal of sorrow that is self-inflicted and people don't get it. And so part of what we need to do is to say, look, you know, somebody does something and you take sorrow from that action, that's a choice. You know, it happens very often in relationships that, you know, a monogamistic relationship, and then one party goes and has a relationship with someone else, the other partner will take a lot of sorrow from that. A lot of that is self-inflicted. And, you know, it actually compromises the relationship enormously. So in order to move out of self-inflicted sorrow, you have to really sit down and think, you know, how much of your sorrow is because of the way you think about something that happened. Because if you adopt the approach that of being a detached observer, you're going to have a lot less sorrow. And it's not going to make any difference to the situation. So, you know, pulling oneself out of the emotional attachment to the situation really changes things enormously.
Okay, so you said that the sorrow that we experience is caused actually by ourselves, and because the action and the consequence are not together, we're unable to join those dots. And I think for most of us, we don't even want to join those dots, because it so once you know that, it means that I have to take responsibility to not perpetuate any more sorrow.
That's right.
What is it that you understand about the laws of spirituality that ensures that you are not creating more sorrow for yourself? Well, how do you do that?
You have a possibility, which is, you could say, this bad thing that's happening to me is something that I deserve because it's the result of something I did, so oh, woe is me, then you'll take sorrow that way. But you could also say, whatever is happening, I can consider it as a test. It could be a test of my endurance, of my tolerance, of my detachment, of my dispassion. You know, if you take it as a test and you take it in order to pass the test, that is really a very good approach to these settlements of karma. Because if something bad is happening to you, it's either a test or a payment. So if you're rich spiritually, you make the payment, not a problem. If you're poor spiritually, it's a big deal to make the payment because it hurts so much more. So very important to enrich oneself with meditation so that you have the power that is needed when the payment comes up, because it is said that this is the time of reckoning. So a lot of bills come up for payment.
The time of reckoning.
If you say, okay, God is my teacher, the university of life, I'm getting tested. I take a test to pass, not to fail. When you pass a test, what that does is it makes you more competent, more capable, more wise, more experienced. And so that situation, which on the face of it is something negative, you turn it to your advantage. And the laws of spirituality do say that, you know, turn it to your advantage. You can, you should. That's what it's all about, you know. You're not here to unnecessarily suffer, you see. Almost as if suffering is something that you indulge in and then you can blame or whatever it is. No, it's really about fortifying the self, making oneself free. There is also the component of purging. You know, if the soul is contaminated with something and you want to be pure, you want to be clean, and you go through some kind of a fire to purge you of that contamination, then it might be a little painful at the time, but if you have the power of tolerance, you get through that, and then you're clean, you're free, you see. So the approach is really very different from how people normally do things.
So Denise, my favorite author, Khalil Gibran, on pain, says that much of your pain is self-chosen. And that's was still such a shock to hear. And but one can't dispute that, especially in light of what you just said.
Mm.
Mm. So that sits quite deeply with me. So, okay, so let's come back to the topic. You've set the groundwork for what causes our pain, that God is not the one who gives the sorrow. We are the ones who do it to ourselves. And so God's role is what then in the scenario?
Well, there are two aspects. One of them is that because God describes the laws of spirituality and the laws of karma very clearly, and God will say, you know, if you do this, you will produce sorrow for yourself, so this is not recommended. Do this, and you will create happiness for yourself. It's highly recommended that you create a good life for yourself. So in that sense, God will be your instructor and show you the way to happiness. So there is removal of sorrow from that angle. But then there is another aspect, which is that when you are in sorrow, when you are in pain, you align yourself with God. You give your problem to God. God will take it away. And you will be relieved of it. So definitely that takes place. But you mustn't hold on to it or take it back. Mm. You have to really let it go. And as you mentioned, a lot of our pain is self-chosen. People are attached to their pain.
So we hold on to it.
Yes. Okay. You have to let go.
Yeah, that's actually quite bizarre to know that we have the option to let go of pain, but we actually have a vice grip on our own pain and then complain that we have pain. So it's for many people, it's not, is it the pain that's, is it the fact that you're holding on to the pain, or is the pain holding on to you?
Well, the pain is familiar territory, and you'd rather be in familiar pain than unfamiliar painlessness.
Ah, better the devil you know than the devil you don't know.
Ah.
It's painful even to listen to. So, Sister Denise, God then teaches one the law of spirituality, but we all carry not just current pain, we all carry future pain. We all carry a reservoir of pain that's come walking with us wherever we go. It's like a rucksack, isn't it? So how does God feature into that equation?
Well, I don't know if we carry future pain. We definitely carry past pain that comes with us.
Okay, by future pain, I mean a pain that will unfold in the future.
Yes, yes,
okay,
of course.
Sorry, my words are
no,
not
that's
correct.
Okay. Yeah. There may be some pain that comes in the future, but, you know, forewarned is forearmed. Mm. And so your attitude towards pain, you make pain a friend, you feel good about the settlement of your karma because you are becoming free, even though it may be a little painful. It's like when you go for an operation, it's going to be painful, but you have to have that operation because if you don't, it's going to be a lot worse. So there is that side of it. And of course, as you develop your powers of tolerance and resilience and so on, you don't mind about pain so much. What becomes important to you is to be free, to be clean and clear, and to be aware of the reality of all of these spiritual laws, and that you are operating in that context. You see, if you deny them or disregard them, you're going to violate them and you're going to pay for it, whether you like it or not. But if you operate in the context of the laws of spirituality as well as the laws of matter, then the way that you navigate your life will be the best possible way, and you will take yourself to the best possible future of your choice, you know, and then you have to move away from the blame game.
Hmm. Denise, what is it within God's personality that enables him to remove sorrow? How does he, in the first place, why does he want to do that? Okay, is this, why? Okay, and secondly, how does he pull it off?
Well, mostly it's because of love. You see, God loves each and every last one of his children, even those who human beings would say, well, these people are so evil that we wouldn't want them to be delivered through the love of God, you know. But God will say, no, why? These are my children. I will take every single last one to a state of peace and spiritual cleanliness. You know, this is love. And how does God pull it off? God is the purifier. And sorrow and pain is a sign of impurity. So God has this capacity, this vibration, this power to link with a human soul to a point where whatever is contaminated in that soul is removed through the light of God.
So if God is willing to do that for me, how do I come to the party? What do I have to do for him to do that? Because he can do it, but he does do it only in amongst certain people, doesn't he?
Well, not really. God will do that for everyone. But
my question is, he can do it for everybody, but what does an individual have to do to ensure that you're one of the lot that he does it to and for?
Well, you have to come down from the ego, number one.
Okay.
You have to put yourself in God's hands in humility, number two. And you have to follow the instructions, number three. You see, that means you have to collaborate and participate in the process of your own liberation, your own freeing.
Mr. Denise, how does that conversation, how does that act occur, where you come down from your ego, listen to God's instructions, and, align yourself? What is your internal process? Is it a conversation? Is it a lifestyle change? What does it entail? On a practical level, I make a decision. I want God in my life. I want to experience little or no sorrow in my future. I want to take care of the spirit, not just the external. I want to take care of the internal. Take me from there to where I'm standing in front of God.
Well, first of all, you have to give up your identity as a physical body.
Okay, so you're not what you see in the mirror.
I'm not this body. I'm a being of light. I'm a point of light. I'm a spirit. And there are implications of that. I am responsible for what's happening to me, you know. God says you have to be in my remembrance so that you can take power, take light, take love. You're empty, you're depleted, you're weak. You have to admit that. And you have to admit that you need this companionship of God. And then you have to fulfill the implications of the relationship. You have to follow the instructions. You have to study. You have to discipline yourself. You have to withstand the temptation to do wrong action. And you have to apply yourself to this. And that is your side of the bargain.
Okay. And this requires time and effort on a daily basis. Do you do it hourly? Do you do it daily?
What does your practice entail? Living 24 hours a day. So throughout the day, remind yourself, I'm a soul, not a body. I'm a pure, peaceful, powerful, loveful, blissful being of light. I'm a child of God. Build up your self-respect. It is not your dignity to fall into your addictions. You have to resist it. You have to build up your will. You have to listen to your conscience. You have to study. You have to meditate. Just try to get into that rhythm and gradually get stronger in it. This is what you have to do.
Okay, you want to share any last words before we bring today's subject to a close?
Well, I think it's very important to make sure that your relationship with God is that you really desist from blaming God for your problems,
mm-hmm.
or blaming God for the problems of the world, and really understand that God is your friend, God is your teacher, God is your companion, your helper, your support, you know, and start to create that relationship
mm.
and work on that relationship. Write letters to God. In your non-dominant hand, write letters back from God to you. You'd be surprised what comes back to you.
Why the non-dominant hand?
The non-dominant hand, if you're right-handed, that's, you know, the you that you know. The non-dominant hand means you're more connected with your intuitive part. And so then that kind of message of God is more able to come through that way.
It's very interesting.
Mm.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. So, Sister Denise, thank you very much for your time and energy today. This talk was extremely insightful, and I hope the viewers have found it to be as in-depth and as beneficial to their lives as I have. So, thank you. So, there you have it, brothers and sisters. Sister Denise, in her usual spiritually eloquent manner, was able to impart to us a message of the role that God plays in humanity, and she took up the subject of God as the remover of sorrow. Most importantly, Sister Denise has shared that God is not responsible for causing you pain in the first place, and this is a very deep illusion that humanity has deep within its psyche. And Sister Denise was also shared what we have to do as individuals for our sorrow and pain to be removed, which is simply availing ourselves to God so that He could do the work that He can do to you and with you. And I particularly like the aspect of writing a letter to God in your non-dominant hand. Well, I suggest you become ambidextrous immediately and try it, because it's a beautiful way of relating to God, a very real way. And letter writing itself is cathartic. So, Sister Denise, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us, and I hope that you can take something away from today's talk that will deepen your relationship with yourself in terms of your spiritual understanding, and also deepen your relationship with God. So thank you and goodbye. Thank you.